Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
Mm.
If we want to be, and we should want to be, the leader that God wants us to be, we want things to be different in our lives. The number one thing we need to change, not our job, our circumstances, environment, relationships, or income. It's us, you and me. Unfortunately, a lot of people who want to change the world don't focus on changing themselves. Our attitude, well, is determined by the collection of dominant thoughts in our minds. So in determining the proper kind of attitude, let's look at Philippians 2:5, New Living Translation. Your attitude, well, it says, the scripture says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Success will never come to us unless we're willing to change our attitude, which will change by what we feed our minds, which will cause us to become the leader that God wants us to be.
And needs us to be for this time in history.
Absolutely. We started this teaching yesterday. We're going to finish it today.
Yes.
Think like the leader God wants you to be. Hallelujah. But first, a brief review. Number one, the leader must have the right kind of attitude. Ephesians 4:23, Classic Amplified. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. You may be thinking, that sounds good, but how do I receive or develop that kind of attitude?
Seven words.
Read your Bible, do what it says.
That's right.
We have assumed the leadership mantle by changing the way we think, by having the right kind of attitude.
The God kind of attitude.
That's it.
Number two. Prior proper planning to prepare your attitude for tomorrow. We hope you did that last night. Make no mistake about it. A leader is going to do right things before going to sleep at night. He or she is going to properly plan their day, this day, with a to-do list. It really should be no surprise that we're sharing this because, yeah, we know that one of the most popular pieces that my husband's ever put together is seven things you do before you go to bed at night. And a lot of people look that up on the internet and follow it. And we've had great testimonies.
Yes, we have.
But let me run through this really quick. First, create a to-do list of the things you plan to accomplish tomorrow. Like I said, I hope you did that last night. Second, journal the great things that happened to you during the day. Something God is happening, and it makes you look for it, too, to journal
it. Does.
Third, create a nightly confession about tomorrow being the best day of your life. Fourth, never go to bed mad or frustrated with your spouse or your children. If you have to, write it down, put it on the stand, go to bed. Fifth, clean up, pick up, so you'll be ready to get up. Sixth, lay out what you plan to wear. Seventh, plan how you will dress your mind. That's as important as your body.
Absolutely. Number three, begin your day with happy hour.
There we go.
We're not talking about alcoholic spirits. We're talking about getting high with the Holy Spirit during the first hour of your day. Our scriptural guide for this morning is found in Psalm 5:3, New International Version. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call.
Number four, keep the main thing the main thing. Stephen Covey, in his powerful book, Seven Secrets of Highly Effective People, said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So the main thing is another way of staying, stay focused on where you're going. Jesus' focus was focused. He knew why he was here. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus stayed focused on his mission. He kept the main thing the main thing. Our to-do list should be a reflection of our goals and the timelines we've created to accomplish them. When we're accomplishing things out of our to-do list, it pumps us up. It keeps us ready. It gives us a whole new attitude about our ability to accomplish the things God's stirring in our spirits. You will find it beneficial to create and monitor your own not to-do list. Yeah, really. Not to-do list. Things such as don't spend time with negative people if you have a choice. Stay away from news programs that fill your mind with a lot of negative events. Be careful of time vampires who will suck the very time out of your day and your life. And you know those vampires can be social media.
That's true. Really
we could
true.
Really go on, but we believe that you will notice that we suggested staying away from negative people and events, again, where there's a choice. What kind of friends do you choose to hang around with? You can find that answer by reading the Message Bible translation of 3 John 2. 3 John 2 says, we're the best of friends, and I pray for good fortune in everything you do and for your good health, that your everyday affairs prosper as well as your soul. Is that what your friends are praying for you and you're praying for your friends? Negative people tend to break their focus and hinder your ability to keep the main thing the main thing.
Number 5, what you sow, you will reap, but not what you may be thinking. Let me say that again. You're going to sow what you reap, but not, it may not be what you're thinking. Reap, to us, stands for recognition, encouragement, appreciation, and praise. Reap. There'll be times when you need to encourage and engage yourself in self-talk and motivation. Keep your attitude where it needs to be. If you don't have a domestic support staff, meaning a spouse or children who can encourage you by speaking a word in season, by bringing a little positive sunshine into your attitude, here are 3 things you should do.
Can I just bust in here?
Sure.
I'm sorry. One of the most important things you can do, whether your children are growing up in your house right now or they're out there in the world, is to be speaking encouraging words in their lives.
That's exactly right. Here are 3 things you should do. First, recognize the role you play in motivating and encouraging yourself.
Yes.
1 Samuel 30, verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In times of great trouble, danger, and distress, when all seemed lost, Scripture says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Just so you know, there'll be moments where you need to encourage and recognize yourself.
Right.
Second, you may have to appreciate your efforts because nobody else does.
Mm.
So it'll be just you and the Lord.
Yes, there will be times.
1 Corinthians 16:18, the Living Bible. They have been a wonderful encouragement to me, as they've been to you. You must show your appreciation to all who serve so well. Third, praise God for what he's done and is doing through your life. Psalm 35:28, Classic Amplified. It really offers some pretty good advice. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness, rightness, and justice, and of my reasons for your praise all the day long. Without question, if you want to feel the presence of the Lord fast, start praising him.
Mm-mm. Number 6, be a doer, not a talker, not a trier, but a doer. And that means a doer of the Word of God. The
That's
best
right.
way to develop leadership skills that God sees in you is by being a doer. By just having a positive mental attitude, well, that's a great start, but it's not enough. We've met some super positive people who've never accomplished a thing in their lives because they weren't doers of the word. You may have read hundreds of books on leadership skills, heard thousands of sermons, watched dozens of Christian television programs, even attended motivational seminars and Holy Spirit conferences. I mean, you could even run around the sanctuary of your church. You might have fallen out in the spirit. But if you aren't practicing doing what you've heard, then, I mean, really, you're deceiving yourself.
That's true.
Because it says in James 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, the Lord knew that we could deceive ourselves.
That's true.
According to Strong's Concordance, the word doer is the Greek word G4163. G4163, and it means a maker, a producer, author, a doer, performer, one who obeys or fulfills the law. Nowhere in that definition do we read that a doer is just one who talks about it. James 1:22 in the Classic Amplified does just that, amplifies it a little bit. It says, but be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listening to it. Betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Obey the message. What's the message God wants us to obey? He wants us to do what he says. It's time for each of us to stop talking about and do what it is and obey the message we find in the word.
Number 7, thinking like a leader will allow you to do what others say can't be done. The right kind of attitude, the kind Jesus had, will allow you to persist through adversity until you gain the victory, no matter what the naysayers say. A 6-year-old boy was sent home from school with a note from his teacher recommending he be removed from school because he was too stupid to learn. That boy, Thomas Edison. How's this for a quote? The cheek of every American must tingle with shame as he reads the silly, flat, dishwatery utterances of a man who has to be pointed out to intelligent foreigners as the President of the United States. That quote from the Chicago Times in 1865, the day after Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Someone once said, the world is moving so fast these days that the man who says it can't be done is generally interrupted by somebody doing it. Never let anybody else's words or demeanor affect your attitude or potential for leadership. How do you overcome adversity and self-doubt to excel in leadership? James 5:16, Classic Amplified,
hallelujah,
has a pretty good answer. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working.
Hallelujah.
Today, every day, it's time to tap into this power. It's the key, the absolute key, to you thinking like a leader.
Amen. And
If you're blessed by this teaching and the ministry, go to heraldhearing.com. Click on the button that says Soul Seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow.
Yes.
Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.